Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
And good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402, and welcome to a beautiful Tuesday morning. No rain today, even though, from what I understand, we've got like 9 billion gallons of water.
It poured last night.
In Lake Shasta, according to Frosty. Good morning, producer.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, Chris Lasondak from Wachovia Securities, we figured it out during one of the breaks.
Oh, okay.
He used a calculator.
He did, instead of just a slide rule like you usually use.
Yeah, right.
And my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning. You know, I had to walk away from Sunday night's Academy Awards so I could just kind of like ponder and think about it. And I know a lot of people tuned out. They were down 32%, but this particular show, they were up 13% in their ratings. And I think perhaps that had to do with Hugh Jackman. And they tried to make it into an old glam fest again. But, you know, you start the show and you start with the cringe factor thinking, please don't bring up anything about any props, about, you know, anything in the war. Don't go there. But we watch my girlfriends and I, and there's always an Academy Award party because of the glam fest. I mean, it's all about the gowns, what people say, how they look. I know, shallow, maybe, maybe not. And we're big movie buffs. Well, I got to tell you this year that, of course, Hugh Jackman, first class guy, he's a song and dance man and did a great job. But I had the cringe factor when it came to Sean Penn and the whole Proposition 8 shoved once again down my throat. No, thank you. And the other thing, Jennifer Aniston is on stage. I was appalled. I was disgusted. I tried to walk away from it for, 24, 36 hours or whatever to see how do you really feel about it. And it even frosts me more today to think that the directors or whoever was doing the camera angles flashed on Angelina and Brad while she was bestowing honors on people with Oscars. They would flash. I mean, that makes me actually nauseous. So there you go. There's my take on the Oscars. Other than that, thank God they brought it back to Glam Fest. I'll watch again next year. Hopefully I won't be as appalled. And
you got to stop holding back, huh?
There you go. So anyway, we're very excited. On a much more positive note, we have with us a very special guest today, 221-1402. We'll see you on the other side, and we're going to break some great news today.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl Linda Bott on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Rob Logan, attorney at law on Placer Street. Rob specializes in bankruptcy, but also in civil and criminal cases, and this man will go to the mat for you. What a lawyer. He does things for people. He cares about the people that come to him. You are not a number. You are a person. Rob's going to help you. Give him a call. You got any problems, Rob's going to help you. All right, now, our guest today is our fire chief, Kevin Kreitman. And we're so happy that Kevin's here because there's so many questions we have for him, but we've got the phone lines backed up, so we want to hit those first, and we'll go from our callers, then right to Kevin. Edith, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Edith.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for the fire chief, for being the fire chief, because it's one of the biggest and hardest jobs we have out there next to, you know, all the other life-saving services we have. But my main call is about the IRS. I have found something out that was really intriguing by a friend of mine who is a divorcee, who has a deadbeat husband, who filed her taxes, and because this year he gets the exemption for the kid,
yeah,
he also gets to take all the benefits for daycare, even though he's never paid a dime.
Yeah.
I was in shock.
That's true.
You know, I just about dropped my teeth. I thought, there you go. That's the way to support single moms in the world. But I also figured out why we're outsourcing, because I looked at how much money they're taking out of the school budget. They have to outsource to find someone that knows how to do math.
Well,
so that answered my question on why we're all going to outsourcing. It's because if it doesn't go somewhere else, they can't find education. And I'm sorry, Linda, as far as the Academy Awards, I was busy doing the boogity, boogity, boogie. Let's go racing, boys.
Woo!
Thank you.
That was your competition on the Academy Award and why it was down, because, you know, you just got Jimmy Johnson and all them good guys running around that track going so fast, you just can't turn it off.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people would have preferred to be there anyway.
I would like to.
Thanks a lot, Edith.
Hey, you guys have a good day.
Right.
And
thanks.
Once again, thank you for being the fire chief. Okay. Have a good day.
Yeah, that's a much better rush.
Hey, Gunny, you're up.
Thanks, Colonel. Good morning.
Good morning.
I will be brief. As we chatted yesterday, there's a group called the American Aces. They're fighter pilots who, military fighter pilots who have shot down five or more enemy aircraft, and they are instrumental in bringing a monument here to our airport honoring our Medal of Honor recipient, who was also a member, an ace, Colonel Sweat.
Colonel James
and
Sweat,
I know you got other people, and I'll hurry, but the main thing is people who are interested and might want to know about this, I would invite them, Marines or not, to our Marine Corps luncheon. We have a luncheon the first Friday of every month at 11:30 at the Holiday Inn on Hilltop, and we also have soldiers, sailors, and also wives are invited. And anybody who would like to find out about this memorial to a genuine American hero is welcome to participate, and I know that you will push it, and that we'll see if we can't get the whole community behind this. There's not any cost involved. The other heroes are doing this.
Yeah.
But they also, this might be interesting, they have a copy of the letter from Franklin Roosevelt to Colonel Sweat, honoring his Medal of Honor.
Well, I tell you what, Gunny, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this before the next meeting, and we do want to bring light to this because a Medal of Honor winner, you know, should not be marginalized.
No, this man
gave it all, and he led a four-plane flight against 150 Japanese enemy aircraft.
Typical jarhead.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, hey, thanks a lot, Guns.
All right, have a good day.
All right. Carolyn.
Yes.
Yep.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment about your movie that you plugged, Taking Chance.
Yes, ma'am.
By HBO. Awesome. Please keep plugging it because it helped us talk to our son about the military.
Uh-huh.
And it was so, I mean, I still cry, and I watched it, you know, a day ago.
You know, Carolyn, what I can say is it's an absolutely true description or depiction of what happens.
Well, I didn't realize it, you know, as an American myself, how honoring they treat them. And it's so wonderful. I just don't know how people cannot support our troops.
Hey, I got chills right now just listening to you, Carolyn.
It's awesome. Anyway, I wanted to say, please keep plugging it, and I pray that it can come. Maybe they can get it at the Cascade and do a fundraiser for the vets.
You know what? That is an awesome idea.
Thank you.
You know what? That is an incredibly awesome idea. You know what? We're going to push on that one.
Yeah,
see if we can't do that.
Tell me, I will come and see it again. I will pay because it is such an awesome movie. We need to show honor and respect to our elders that served.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate it, and it was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So plug it. Get it to the Cascade.
Okay. Thanks a lot. You know, we're talking about Taking Chance, which was the that movie we talked about a warrior that fell in the Battle of Fallujah in 2004. And what happened in the 8 days that Chance Phelps died and then was brought back to the time he was buried. Again, you know, you all know us. I don't care what you think about war. I could care less. But I do care about what you think about the warriors that fight for us, that are out there. And it's just the depiction of what happened.
And you would know because you pulled duty.
Yeah, well, I've done notifications and I've done escort duty before, and it was not during a war. But the way they treat our fallen, the reverence they have for our fallen at Dover Air Force Base, and all the way back. And this isn't just, these are people that don't know, they didn't know that Marine, but the honors they showed him. You know, the flight crews, the ground crews, people driving by, turning on their lights. And we've seen this as the Patriot Guard riders when we're honoring our fallen veterans up there. Okay, we've got to take a break here. It's Carlin in the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Fire Chief Kevin Kreitman. I promise you, Kevin, we're going to get you right after this break. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl and Linda Bott, phone lines here, 221-1402. Our guest is the Fire Chief, Kevin Kreitman. Everybody loves firemen.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Hey, Kevin, can you give us a little bit of your background before, as we get going on our interview here?
Sure. Been in the fire service for 30 years and began as a volunteer, went to college, decided it was something I was interested in, went to college, came out of that, was hired as a firefighter, worked as a firefighter paramedic, and worked my way up through the ranks and was promoted to chief of the department where I came from prior to coming to Reading on that. And have been involved, teach back at the National Fire Academy, been on a couple of national committees for hazardous chemicals and combustible metals due to some of the experiences I had with the department we were with previously. I've been in Reading now since September and really enjoy the community and the city and getting to know things here in this area.
You mentioned before that you came from Albany, Oregon.
That's correct.
And the population in Albany is?
It's the city is about 48,000, protected an area of about 55,000 total.
Which leads me to our next question is the staff that you had, the manpower that you had in Albany equates, could you share that with us?
The staffing in Albany is essentially the same as we have here in Reading. We had 80 personnel. And we have 79 full-time staff today in Reading. One of the things that's a little bit different in Albany is we were an EMS provider, so we provided advanced life support and transported as well as providing fire suppression.
So we have twice the population with half the staff of what you had in Albany.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm sure a lot of people are wondering about what are we going to do about that? How are we going to make that work?
Well, one of the things that's a little bit different here, as I mentioned, is we do run EMS calls, but we're not in the transport side, so we don't have that challenge. But we do have the challenge that we run about twice the number of calls here, and that's really one of the things when you look at what our availability is for our crews when they're out on a call and how long they're tied up and the number of times we have various stations out on calls when we have subsequent emergencies come in. And that's some of our largest challenges.
Well, that's one of the questions we had for you, too, was how many of our – I know that you're seeing the fire engines going out all the time. How many emergency, true emergency calls we go on, vice calls that aren't emergencies?
Majority of the calls we go on, I would say, are emergency. Of our total call volume, about 80% of them are medicals, and I would say probably of the medical calls, you're probably around 70% are emergency. And okay. One of the things that we're looking at, and we'll have those calls where we go out, where they go out for a lift assist or something like that, but a lot of times what we'll be responding on, medicals especially, we're responding as a first responder. We can get there faster than the ambulance. One of the things that our personnel can do is if we have someone's in a cardiac arrest, for an example, they can begin CPR. They have automatic defibrillators on our vehicles so they can try to shock if it's a rhythm that's requiring them to be shocked. Hopefully can get that. When you look at the number of people that are required, even just for moving the patient and things in a home or if you have a serious patient, the ambulances here have two personnel on them. It's not uncommon for us to have someone going in with the ambulance to the hospital to assist with the continued care and treatment of the patient as well.
Okay. You know, one of the other duties you have, one of the questions we want to ask, of course, is this funding crisis we're coming in. But that's going to take a little bit longer. We have a break here in a couple minutes. So one of the questions I want to ask you, though, is one of your duties is the emergency services coordinator during a disaster. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The fire department has responsibility when we have a major disaster. The fire department actually maintains the city's emergency response plan. So our fire marshal is in charge of that and doing it. We just did a drill here a couple weeks ago where we brought city staff in and did a drill in our EOC Emergency Operations Center involving a winter storm event on it. So part of what we have as a responsibility is overseeing that and making sure we have the plans in place and that we do the training for personnel within the fire department and within the city.
Okay, a follow-up question on that would be, what's the communications requirements for this?
Primarily what we're using in communications are current communications that we have in the field. So we would be using our radios, and, of course, you would have cell phones if they were operable, as well as your hard lines and things like that. And the EOC portion really is set up to support field operations. So depending on what's taking place in the field, we're looking at what do we need to be doing, coordinating with other agencies, whether it be the county, state, federal agencies, local relief agencies as such, that primarily to support operations that may be taking place.
Okay, we've only got like 30 seconds for this one, Chief, but where is the Emergency Operations Center right now?
The Emergency Operations Center is in the city, out at the city's maintenance area, out off of, out by Old Oregon Trail.
And from what I understand, the new police building would take over that position?
One of the things that's being looked at is having the ability to move that into the new police building. The area that we're at right now is very small for the type of operations that could be needed on it. It's a room that's maybe, I would say, probably 40 by 40. Not a real large room, pretty cramped room for the number of people that you would need to have in that area.
All right, thank you. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the budget and how that's hitting our fire department.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio, KQMS News Talk 1400. You can always hear us streaming live on KQMS.com or go to freefireradio.com where you can ask lots of questions, and we love the interaction. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the experts in every jewelry need you could ever want and the only real watchmaker on the premises. Now, Chief Kevin Kreitman, thanks for coming back in the second half with us. We have a question. What is happening? How are the budget cuts going to affect our fire department here in Reading?
Well, right now, with the most recent cut, we lost one a firefighter's position at one of our stations, and so it went from a three-person company to a two-person company. The main impact that has for us is just looking at when we have an emergency, making sure we have adequate resources arriving on the scene within a timely fashion to be able to address that emergency based on what the call, whether it be a fire emergency or motor vehicle accident, things like that. So it really is somewhat incident-based, based on that station or other stations that may be involved with the call, and being able to meet future response needs.
What about the they're looking at another $3 million, another cut?
Yeah, one of the things that they're looking, when we'll have to look at where we are, we're a very lean department. There's just not a lot of areas. When you look at what our operating costs are, there's just not a lot of options for us to take a look. So we'll just have to see what takes place in the city. And you know, it's a challenging time. In my 30 years in the fire service, I've never seen the economy to the point where we are.
Which brings us right into what many of us have on the tips of our tongues for a question. What are the rules for a two-man company?
Well, the biggest rule for a two-person company, again, is what I mentioned earlier, is you really have to look at, it depends on the type of incident we're responding to. So for an example, if we're responding to a structure fire, one of the things that came into play in the fire service has been about 11, 12 years ago now was some OSHA regulations called two in and two out. And it's under what they call a respiratory standard. And it requires us, if we're going to make entry, we have to enter with a team of two and have a backup team of two ready for emergency rescue of our personnel if something were to occur.
I understand that. In case something happens, you get a collapse in there, you got to come, somebody has to come in and rescue them.
So along with that, what it means is they have to work in a buddy system, so it has to be a minimum of two people. So with our two-person company, if we arrive on scene, one of the things that OSHA does say that we can do is in an emergency situation, we can violate that.
Okay.
Doesn't mean we wouldn't be cited, but we can violate it. But it has to be a known rescue. So if we arrive on scene and someone's standing there telling us they think someone's trapped, the company officer that would be arriving at that point would have the opportunity to take a look and make a decision. One, is there a chance that they could save the person in there? And what's the risk to the crew as well? So they're going to have to make that call. One of the things that happens when that occurs is it makes it very difficult to look at is if it's a two-person company, no one's manning that pump. So if something happens while they're inside and they lose their water, they're now at risk as well. So it's it puts that a greater risk. The important thing is ensuring that we have adequate resources arriving to back them up in a timely fashion and so that we can continue and do the things that are required.
Which brings to mind about a volunteer fire department. I mean, Is there just too many laws and regulations why a third person that couldn't be the volunteer that could be there, like you're saying, watching that if the two that are the experts that go in to fight the fire, that the third person could man the truck, man the water? Why can't we do that?
Well, one of the things, we have a paid-on-call program here, but when you look at the training and things that are required, and, you know, when you have volunteers, having them actually live in the station would be one thing. So if you don't have them there, they still have to respond to the scene and meet you at the incident and things. So when you look at most communities this size, you know, they're really relying on, for the most part, their career forces, and then they usually have other resources coming in later. But having them arrive in a timely fashion is really important. And when you look at volunteer programs and others, their volunteers do a great job. I mean, when you look at the training and stuff, whether it's a volunteer or a career, they have the same. The main thing is the timeliness of getting those resources.
Of getting people there. And that's one of the things that I've heard. Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
I have a question for the fire chief. Does your department, are you given the responsibility of determining the cause of a residential fire?
Yes.
And follow-up to that is, do you off the top of your head happen to know an approximate number of how many residential fires are caused by electrical issues as opposed to, say, candle issues? I'll take my answer on there. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
We did not plant that.
Yeah.
That is not a plant. That is a real
That's
live
a real that's a real question that comes up a lot on this show, though. I tell you what. You could do groundskeeping, or somebody's going to ask that question. Hey, is any groundskeeping causing fires if there's no electricity?
Okay.
We're ready, Chief.
I would say when you look at the majority of the fires, electrical, usually cooking appliances are one of the top areas that we will see fires in due to inattention to what's taking place on the stove. The majority of the fires we see are accidental fires. It's usually human caused, and so that's one of the things I think that's really important that the community can do for us is really look and pay attention to what they're doing. And the same with, especially as we start looking again in the summer, when you look at the number of wildland fires we have and the risk we have in this community, discarded cigarettes and things like that, things that people can do to to do that. And along that lines, one of the things I'd like to, while we're talking about in the safety of the community is the importance of smoke detectors in a structure, I think, is one of the things that really will benefit us as a community. And I don't think a lot of people are aware, when we look at what a fire today, Hollywood hasn't done us a lot of justice as far as people understanding what happens when their house catches on fire. When I started my career 30 years ago, we were seeing what they call flashover. That's where you'll see a fire build, and essentially get to an intensity where everything in the room becomes involved in fire. It was occurring about 14 to 17 minutes after fire started when I first started my career, and today we're seeing that occur as early as 3 minutes. So when you look at the amount of time when a fire starts in someone's residence, the amount of time they have to escape that is really cut down, and the amount of smoke and stuff that we're seeing, because 30 years ago, most of the things we had in our homes were of natural products.
Different fabrics. Yes.
Pretty much natural products, natural woods. And today, most everything's petroleum-based. Uh-huh. So we're seeing a much hotter fire, much faster, with much greater smoke.
Wow.
So the amount of time that someone has to get out of a structure fire is much less. And the products of combustion, the amount of smoke and things that can really damage them. So it's really important that you have a working smoke detector in all of your rooms.
Change your batteries.
And if they're over 10 years old, they should be replaced because the sensors in them are only good for 10 years. And they're actually, because of the type of fire we're seeing now, they're coming out with what they call dual sensor detectors, because the fires we used to see were more of a slow smoldering, slow-based building fire, which our old ionization detectors detected fairly quickly, were designed to detect. And we're seeing a lot hotter, faster fires today. Mm-hmm. So they've actually come out with dual detection, which has photoionization and photoelectric.
Well, Chief, can I ask a question here about if there's the people who are impaired or they can't get around, is there an organization or where would you send people to have someone have all of their smoke alarms checked and replaced?
One of the things I would say, first off, if someone has a concern, is give us a call and we'll see what we can do to work with them and try to help them address that need, because I think it's an important thing that we can do from a life safety standpoint. Granted, we have limited resources, but know, if we can get an engine company or someone else can go out and take a look if they can't get to their detector. I think that's something that, you know, to look at doing.
I think this is, well, we're going to take a quick break here, but I think North State, you just heard a way of saving your life, your parents' life, your children's lives. It's just by a real easy method, and that's by putting in new smoke detectors or even just checking the smoke detectors, making sure that they've got batteries and that they work. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Lindebaugh on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, finest tobacco emporium in the North State. Oh, I like it there. They got a great walk-in humidor. Joe and Shelley, what great people they are. The people that work for them are great people. We hang out there. PGR hangs out there. They have Espresso Joe's there. You can get any type of coffee you want, any way you want it made. Chief, what direction are we heading in?
Well, one of the challenges we have is looking at far as maintaining where we are today. We, you know, we're looking at some difficult times, I think, ahead. I don't think anyone knows where we are with regards to what's taking place in the economy. So I think one of the biggest things for us is going to be looking at trying to maintain and continue to provide a high level of service to the community and meet the needs of what we have. Unfortunately, one of the things we see, even though we're seeing this year, we're looking at our budgets beginning for the two-year period at a no increased budget. So the challenge is going to be to maintain the service levels and maintain our equipment and our resources that we have within those means. Unfortunately, our call volume doesn't necessarily slide with what as a market. So we see about a 5.5% increase in our call volume on an annual basis if you look over the last 30 years. So,
and a 10% cut in your budget.
Yeah. And one of the challenges we have is, you know, since 1980, we've seen about a 296% increase in call volume and the number of emergency service personnel about a 50% increase. So it's, you know, we're hitting that point where we do. And so it's going to be really important to look at those things. And I think, you know, some of the things the public can do is really help us, especially this summer as we get into fire season, the wildland, looking at things that they can do to help reduce that potential that we have for those major emergencies and those emergencies that require a lot of resources, whether it be a wildland or a structure fire and other things. And, you know, making sure they have defensible space and they prepare their homes and look at the things that they can do, you know, we can do as individuals as well as trying to address and get through this rough time.
Mm-hmm.
In case you're just tuning in, this is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, and we have a very special guest today. We just have a few minutes left, 221-1402. If you'd like to ask the fire chief, Kevin Kreitman, some questions, now's the time. I have a question. Albany, Oregon, you had the title of fire chief, and then you came to Reading.
Yes.
Can you share with us why?
Well, I was reaching retirement age in Oregon, and one of the things I was looking at is decided I'm really not ready to retire yet and wanted to look at working another 10 years. This is an area that my wife and I have always enjoyed. When we've traveled through this area, we've always been impressed. And to be honest with you, after living in Oregon for the last, well, I won't say how many years, but for a number of years and dealing with the rain, although last night reminded me, you know, kind of brought things back to me.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to, you know, a change in atmosphere and things. And when this position came open, it wasn't my wife and I talked a little bit about it and came down and did a little research on the community and stuff and said, you know, this is a community that I would like to be a part of. And I have no regrets. I mean, it's difficult coming in this type of a situation when you're dealing with budget cuts. But I have to say I've been very impressed with the personnel we have in the department. And their commitment to providing service to the community.
Well, Reading's a great place. How much of the budget do we see? You see a budget problem here in the future when you start talking retirement, medical benefits, and this?
Well, as you look at any budget, I mean, when you look, I think, you know, about 80% of our total budget is personnel costs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are things that are always going to be there, you know, whether it's public and private sector as well. You always have those challenges on it. And looking at, you know, the state system here, and you look at, you know, from what I'm familiar with Oregon, I'm still not that familiar with California system, but I know a lot of things were very similar where they had pickups, such as the 9% pickup here. I know Oregon had done that, and a lot of states and a lot of communities had done that.
What's the 9% pickup?
The employees match on retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of states did that because it went into the wage rather than inflating that wage. So when you actually looked at it, it reduces your hourly cost for those employees.
But it comes out for more on the other end, though, right, that the city has to pick up?
I'm not sure. You know, as far as the pickup, normally that's where I'm not real familiar with on the California system. I know that when most – I know in Oregon, that's one of the things that we did in Albany back in the 80s was the employee pickup was – picked up, the employees used to pay it. The city picked it up in lieu of wage increases. And the primary purpose for that was it didn't add to their wage because it was something that had been a part of their wage. So it was taken out so it didn't impact their hourly rate. And the fire service is somewhat unique anyway because of the hours they work. They work a 56-hour work week. And fire service is unique because under Fair Labor Standards Act, their hourly rate is actually based on a 56-hour work week. So when you look at a firefighter who is here, the cost compared to a 40-hour employee is about 40% less on their hourly rate, which is significant when you talk about overtime and things like that.
Right. Okay. Hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We've got to take a break here, and then we're going to finish up another question, and join us on the other side.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio KQMS. That's News Talk 1400. We're going to finish up the show here, but this portion of the show is brought to you by New Image Photography, our photographers of choice. If you're looking for that family portrait, if you're looking for the good senior package, these are the guys. They are so awesome. They did our wedding. They are on Park Marina Circle next to the Beadmans. Go see Dan and Julia. That's New Image Photography. Now to close it up, Kevin Kreitman, who is our fire chief. Closing thoughts?
Well, thank you for the opportunity today. You know, I think one of the things that I would just really, you know, looking at where we are in the economy and the struggles that we're going to have ahead of us, I would really encourage people to look at those things again that they can do to help prevent, you know, knowing CPR and looking at things they can do around their homes to be prepared for an emergency should something occur, and looking for ways in which they can prevent those emergencies so that we can hopefully look at trying in the future to reduce the number of emergency responses that we have to respond to.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Chief? Here's the thing is that you know, we need to have you back, of course. We're going to get a fire marshal in here to start talking defensible space because it's going to start getting warmer. What can we do to help prevent the wildfires again? But, you know, there's a number of other questions, too, is that with these budget cuts, you know, and this is, of course, you know, this doesn't, you can fight for what you believe, but this is where we can fight, too, in our community, saying, hey, come on, what's the most important thing? You know, if you, you know, are you going to cut out cable or are you going to cut out, you know, going to cut out heat in your house? It's one of those things. You know, you can always use rabbit ears if you got the new box, converts it to digital. Or, you know, and save money that way, you know. So I think our city council has to take a hard look at what the right thing to do is here and how to save the money and how to put money into the areas that we need to help our community. And there's a lot of, you know, it's not an easy job, city council, but guess what? You wanted it, so it's time to stand up there and do that. Now, as Linda said, we stream every day on KQMS during this time from 8 to 9, and you can go to our website, Free Fire Radio, and hear this show again. Also on Free Fire Radio, we have blogs that addresses almost every subject. And you can also give us your opinions. We have a spot there for y'all to write in. Give us your opinion, and we'll publish it, let the other people see it. That's this week. Tomorrow we're going to have, if you noticed in that they've just reported, we're going to cut another 17 and a quarter teachers out, 17.4 teachers out of Shasta County. Tomorrow our guest is going to be, well, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation for a segment, but Superintendent Tom Armolino is going to be here, and we're going to talk about these cuts that are coming down the pike here. You know, losing teachers, the impact it's going to have on our schools, the impact it's going to have the size of our classes, the impact on just education in general with all of these cuts in our budget. even though that they just passed a budget, which of course is still hasn't been passed, even though people say it has. And you start talking about the spending package, how that's going to come down and save everybody, which is another whole complete show in itself. On Thursday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Mark Pierce. As part of the stimulus package, there was a lot of changes in our health care benefits and how health care is going to occur with the government putting themselves right in the middle of your health care, it appears. Dr. Pierce is going to talk about that, plus answer a number of other questions. But you got to remember, you know, our government and our health care, this is the same government that got into our housing. This is the same government that got into our banking. What's going on, people? We got to take a real good look at what's going on around here and how we can take care of ourselves, how we can help our fellow North Staters around here. Really appreciate you being here today, Chief.
Yeah, thanks,
you know,
Kevin.
I know that you're real busy, as is everybody here that's working the government, trying to do the right thing for our people here. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us tomorrow. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KQMS.